Coming up next on The Music Room, an interview with Seamus Egan from Solace, who will be appearing at the Grand Opera House on March 15th. For more information, go to thegrandwilmington.org. And now, Seamus Egan on The Music Room.
The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for The Music Room on WVUD.
Hello, everybody. Mando Richard here, and welcome to The Music Room. Today, we've got Seamus Egan. We caught up with him on February 25th to record this interview. I think you'll really enjoy getting to hear him talace about his band, Solace, a Celtic band that put out 10 or 11 CDs now. And you'll also enjoy hearing him talace about their latest project called Shamrock City, which is really telling the story of one of his relatives when he came to work in the copper mines outside Butte, Montana. So sit back and relax and join Solace and Seamus Egan here in The Music Room on WVUD. Solace with Hugo's Big Reel on The Music Room on WVUD. And joining me, thanks to the miracle of technology from an unnamed bank parking lot, Seamus Egan. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're one of the two remaining members from the original Solace band that formed back in about 1996.
That's right. Myself and Winifred Horn were the the ones from the still left from the very beginning.
And you've got, I think, what, Mick McCauley is touring with you on accordions and concertina and various things like that?
Yeah, Mick has been with us pretty much, except for the first couple of years, he's been with us for pretty much the duration. And it's the accordion, he's singing now and playing guitar. We've got Eamon McElholm on guitar and keyboards and singing. And the newest member now of the band, who joined us last summer, back in July, Noriana Kennedy, who's our lead singer now. She plays a bit of five-string banjo, and she's from Dublin originally. She lives in Galway. So she's been with us for the past 6-8 months now, so it's been great having her.
You guys do something that's relatively unusual. My understanding is you live in Philadelphia, and they don't.
Well, yeah, we're sort of, I guess, we're based really on both sides of the Atlantic. 3/5 of the band live in Ireland and 2/5 here in the States. So, and I guess Philadelphia is sort of the American base for the American nerve center for us here. And it might seem awkward, but it's not really, because we spend so much time together on the road and we're traveling a great deal of the time. So. It kind of works out you kind of find your way around it,
It's a matter of, okay, we're getting ready to tour. Let's practice.
Exactly.
Well, Solace has had a long career. You put out, I think, Shamrock City, your latest, is your 10th or 11th.
It is, yeah. I think it might be our 11th now.
It started off, everybody knew you as, a man with fiddles and pipes and flutes and doing lots of traditional music, but you've broadened out over time the kinds of material you choose to play.
Yeah, I think Obviously our background is in, in the traditional world, and that's sort of how we all sort of kind of came up. But, we had always an ear open to other things, and we never felt that necessary to sort of build walls around what it was that we were wanting to do. We always thought that if it made sense for us to do, and we could, bring our own sensibility and interpretation to something, that it was, worth a shot. So a lot of the sort of, I guess, outside the tradition songs that we've tackled over the years, in some ways, I mean, I really don't think that they're terribly far removed from the sort of, what the traditional stuff is about. They're story songs and good songs. And, hopefully, we've been able to do them justice.
A lot of what people consider now old folk music was a really popular song from the 16th and 17th century.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, it's, I think the one thing about folk music, and I think that sort of the definition of it seems to be, can shift as time goes on, And I think one of the things with Irish music in particular, and the reason that I think that it's able to sort of maintain a degree of relevance, in present day, is that it's malleable and its core is strong enough that you can bring in outside influences to it, or you can bring it to other types of, I guess, maybe more contemporary material. And I think it has a way of, each thing has a way of informing it, but at its essence, it doesn't seem to dilute it, I don't think.
There's a lot of cross-pollination back and forth. And I think one of the things that attracted me to folk music back when I was 10 years old, my aunt gave me a copy of Alan Lomax's Folk Songs of North America from 1960. And you could see how many of those songs he collected in the hills of Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and so on, were from Ireland or Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, I mean, that whole area was a very sort of, I suppose, popular destination for Irish and Scottish immigrants. And that they brought, when they came over, they had their music, and then it sort of became another thing once it sort of lived there for a while. And I guess that's what we consider, old time, mountain music now, which led to bluegrass, and sort of you've got the outgrowth of all of that into country. And yeah, so I mean, I think to sort of make that jump from sort of traditional Celtic to sort of more, if you want to call it more contemporary kind of stuff, it isn't really that big of a jump. I mean, the bloodlines are there.
And you see some of the collections that Sam Bayard did in the 1920s, 1930s out in western Pennsylvania, and you can see it's fife tunes. It's it's things that people clearly brought into southwestern Pennsylvania from Ireland.
No, absolutely. There was a musical bridge was built.
And one of the reasons we're taking you down this alley is because your latest project, Shamrock City, is about this very thing.
I suppose it is in a way. It's about people making that... making that journey, taking that leap into the unknown, bringing with them their, their traditions and culture and sort of finding their way in the new world.
The story behind this project is it ties in with somebody from your family.
It does. The Shamrock City really started for us about maybe 10 years or so ago. And certainly with no eye toward, doing anything with it. It was really a family genealogy project, a sketchy one at that. I remembered my father telling, me growing up when I was little back in Ireland, the story about this distant relative who'd left his home in County Mayo in Ireland and came to America. And he ended up in Butte, Montana, working in the copper mines. But he was also a bare-knuckle fighter. And he was meant to throw a fight that had been organized by the local sheriff there in Butte. And he turned out that he didn't throw the fight. He won the fight. And then he was murdered subsequently by two policemen, as for not doing what he was told. So I sort of remembered this story you know, it had all, you know, had his sort of sense of adventure to it, which was kind of appealing, even though it had a, you know, an unfortunate ending. About 10 years ago, we were invited to go and play at a festival out there in Butte. And they told my father that we were heading out there. It was the first time that, you know, we were going to go there. And, you know, so he said, if I had a minute, to see if we could find out if, you know, where Michael Conway, that was his name, maybe where he was buried, and if you could find it, maybe just take a picture of the gravestone. Well, it wasn't as simple as all that. He was buried in an unmarked grave, and so the process of trying to sort of locate him there in Butte was a slow one. But I think that was actually, in hindsight, a sort of a fortunate thing, because in the process of just trying to find out, you know, a bit about, you know, his time there and trying to maybe find his grave, we started to learn about Butte itself, you know, its history in relation to the history of Irish immigration to America, its history in relation to, you know, the industrialization of America. Because I mean, it was a spot that, I mean, for a while there in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was the, you know, the main producer of copper ore for, you know, not only for America, but for the entire world. So it was really an important, important place in American history. So we started to learn more about Butte, and then started to learn more about Michael Conway's life. And then the two things kind of started to come together the more that we learned, when we started to realize that there was a really interesting story here, not necessarily only just sort of a family story, and, you know, that was interesting, but I think the larger story was really one about, you know, about immigration, you know, people making that journey and ending up, you know, because Michael Conway really, to us, sort of became, I think he kind of symbolizes sort of just the immigrant story, or an immigrant story, not an Irish immigrant story, but just a general story of someone making that journey. And Butte in some ways sort of represents the sort of the opportunity and the possibility of America. And, you know, Butte was a destination not just for the Irish. I mean, it was people from all over the world were making their way there, because there was so much work and so much opportunity. And it worked out well for some, and it didn't work out well for others. I mean, and, you know, Michael Conway's story being an example of the latter.
Well, let's give a listen to something off of this new project of yours. I guess it actually came out in late 2013, didn't it?
Yep.
Solus, Shamrock City, and what track shall we play for them?
I think let's play Tell God and the Devil. I think, I mean, the idea behind the song really is, you know, the mining is today is still one of the most dangerous professions, you know, you could find yourself doing. And back then it was unbelievably dangerous. I mean, every day going down the mine could have been your last. And when you left your family in the morning to start your shift, I mean, there was really no guarantee of any sort that you'd come home that night. You know, so there was a tremendous amount of courage and also, I suppose, defiance, and a sense of, you know, a real strong sense of brotherhood amongst the miners. And that was sort of something that we wanted to put across, that, you know, this was something that was, you know, it was a hard life, it was a dangerous life. But I mean, it was taken on with a great deal of courage and dignity.
Job.
Who's playing banjo on that?
That's myself.
And here I thought it might have been one of your guest artists on that project.
No. I took on the banjo responsibilities.
Well, you're going to be coming to the Grand Opera House in Wilmington on March 15th. I assume that what you're going to be doing is the Shamrock City show that you've been touring with over the past several weeks.
It will be, yeah. You know, the way what we do for the show is that the first half of the concert is the Shamrock City story. And, you know, what we've done over, you know, obviously we play the songs and the music, but we have a whole visual component that goes along with Shamrock City, where, you know, over the last couple of years, we would go out to Butte and, you know, we filmed an awful lot of, you know, footage out there. And we were also given, you know, tremendous access to the historical archives there in Butte, which is a remarkable spot. The folks out there were just really generous and sort of gave us a run of the place. And so we've got a collection of really, just really incredible still images from back in the, you know, late 1800s and, you know, through the early 1900s. So we sort of combined these still images with the footage and sort of made these, you know, little movies that go along with the songs and the music. So it's a full audio visual experience.
A full multimedia experience.
Multimedia, that's the word. Yes.
Let's pick something else out from that Shamrock City project that the folks will hear if they come out to hear you at the Grand Opera House in Wilmington on March 15th. I think you said Lay Your Money Down.
Lay Your Money Down, yeah. You know, one of the other sort of, you know, one of the other parts of life in Butte was, you know, it was obviously, you know, it was all, you know, it was hard graft and, you know, dangerous work and, you know, and it was, you know, the, but there was also this part of Butte, this sizable part of Butte, which was really hard living. And, you know, they knew how to have a good time and sort of blow off steam. And, you know, there was you know, it was a wild place. I mean, it was a boomtown, and when you know, when things were going, you know, when the copper was high, meaning that, you know, when they were getting a good price for copper, you know, there was the town itself was really a 24/7 place. I mean, the bars never closed. They didn't even have locks on the doors, and you know, there was shows going on. You know, the theaters there, all the top performers at the time. You know, Butte was. You know, it was a spot that they had to play. And so it was a wild place. Plenty of ways to get into trouble, plenty of ways to lose your life and lose your money. So we thought that part of Butte's history deserved a song. So Lay Your Money Down became, you know, that's what we came up with. And then we were really, really fortunate. When we were writing that song, we had in our mind, you know, so we sort of approached the album in terms of the songs being kind of sung by characters in this sort of story. And from the beginning of writing Lay Your Money Down, we always had in the back of our mind Rhiannon Giddens from the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Yeah.
You know, so it was sort of written with her in mind, and you know we didn't know her at the time, but you know, we were just huge fans, and for some reason that her voice and the way she sings really seemed to sort of inform how we put the track together. And, you know, we got in touch with her. She said yes. So, and we were able to, you know, kind of between their touring schedule and our touring schedule, we were able to get an afternoon here in Philadelphia, you know, during the summer. And, you know, in a couple of hours, we just laid the whole track down.
Take the hand. string and E. She barks worse than she bites. Tongue will lash damnation blue, the Shamrock City night. Scoop the Colonel Buckets hasn't backed a loser yet. He's got one eye on the table as he spies.
Now, is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have?
One of the sort of recent developments with Shamrock City is that we've been sort of developing a stage play, a musical based on the story. It looks like that is moving forward.
When do you expect the Shamrock City stage play to perhaps enter production?
Well, we're hoping, we're in the process now of, we've got a table reading of the play at the end of May for investors, and everything going well. Hopefully we could be in production sometime next year.
That'd be very exciting.
It is. Yeah. It's sort of, it's very exciting. It's this whole, it's something that I think the story, I think, is interesting enough that there's the hard part of actually making the album was that there were so many parts to the story that it was almost, the difficulty was trying to figure out what not to include. So I think with the play now, we've sort of been able to bring in other elements and expand the story in a way that you could never do, in a sort of album format, a CD format. You'd have to make a box set in order to get all the parts of the story. And so, with the play now, we can sort of, introduce all these other things that were going on and around that time and sort of introduce these characters and, to tell those parts of the story. So it's really exciting.
Well, you're leaving me with that same issue. I wonder what I'm going to choose to include in a 30-minute radio show if we've been talking for 24 and a half minutes and I've got 10 minutes of...
Judicious editing.
Seamus, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Cool. Well, look, I appreciate you giving us the time. And that's great, Richard. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking time.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/tmr. That's sites, sites.udel.edu/tmr. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.